At the same time that Japan attacked Pearl Harbor in December 1941, Japanese forces also invaded Luzon, the main island in the Philippines. 7-year-old Mary McKay heard about it on the radio. She and her parents were on another Philippine island, Mindanao, where her father ran the Mother Lode gold mine.
We were listening to news come in from Manila, and I watched the scrambled eggs drop down back toward my parents' plates as they heard this news.
Mary McKay Maynard recounts the adventure that followed in her new book, My Faraway Home. It's a story of survival, of how her family retreated farther inland and hid from Japanese soldiers for the next 2 years. It's also about a childhood cut short, and it tells how a small colony of Americans and their Filipino allies struggled against the odds.
No one knew for at least a year how bad things had been at Pearl Harbor, so we expected the Navy to come steaming in any minute. People began to join us. First, it was initially just the people from my father's gold mine, the one that he managed. But then people heard about us and they joined us. So I think at one point we might have had 35 or 40 people.
With your father in charge?
Put in charge by the colonel who was in charge of the American forces on Mindanao at that point, Colonel Chastain. He went down, I think, wanting to be a hero because he had World War I experience and was given a rather ignominious job of looking after women and children inland. He didn't want that duty, but he took it very seriously.
Now, you were storing food and supplies.
Yes, the men on Bataan gave us a fair amount of time. They gave us 5 months so that we could, my father at least, could go back and forth to the mine and get supplies. And he could buy materials and supplies from the Chinese merchants along the rivers. And then when it began to look really bad, then Colonel Chastain sent a lot of material up from the army, food and canned goods and so forth, which we put in our famous bodega to store.
Which your father kept locked.
Yes, against a rainy day. Made him very unpopular. He said, I'm about as popular as a polecat at a picnic.
You had a radio, so you were getting the war news.
We had a radio, and we had the generator, which we ran 15 minutes a week, so we knew what was going on or what wasn't going on at that point in the Pacific. We were waiting and waiting and waiting.
And you knew the Japanese had landed on the islands.
Oh, yes, yes, and we knew when Stalingrad was holding out, and we knew what was happening all across the world, and we could see that Europe was first and we were second.
The Japanese ordered civilians to surrender.
They did. Soon after the collapse at Bataan and Corregidor, they invited us to benevolent concentration.
But you knew benevolence wasn't what they had in mind.
No, but some people took the gamble because there were families that were separated. One man had 3 very young children, 1 baby not even walking. So he took the risk and went downriver and went into prison camp. And he did finally meet his wife in Santa Tomas about a year and a half later.
But you had heard, you had had stragglers come through, people who'd escaped the Bataan Death March. You knew what the Japanese did with prisoners.
At first, I have a friend that I still see who was in prison camp. He ended up in Santa Tomas too, but they stayed out in the hills for a while on another island and the Japanese simply came to get them. It was later when things began to go bad and the Japanese became more brutal and more dangerous. So at first, when they invited us, I think we would have been taken into prison camp and would have survived equally the way the other people did. But my parents had been born and raised in the prairie, and I do remember my mother saying, I just can't live behind barbed wire. That's all there is to it. I just can't.
Were there other children?
For a while, but most of them turned into the Japanese for benevolent concentration, and then I was alone with this. We were colonials, so we had servants, and I played with the lavandera's children. She was our washerwoman. And they led me through the jungle and taught me about their native beliefs. And the point of My Faraway Home, I think, is to say that I had a gentle war. I was a child protected from the worst of it, and I never saw a Japanese soldier. I never saw a gun fired in enmity. And so I had an alternative war, I guess you might call it.
gentle. You were living off the land. You had a typhoon. You had earthquakes. You had a wild cat. You had a snake under your bed.
You really read the book. I'm so delighted. It was interesting. I'm saying that I didn't have the violence and the terror of bombing and unpredictable horror that shoot 'em up, bang bang war stories usually tell. And mine was a more, well, maybe 19th century story with danger, more like a covered wagon crossing the country. I don't know how to say it, but I wanted the book to be a reflection of a child's lens watching what was going on around her without a lot of fear. I know that by the time I was nearly 10, as we were almost leaving the islands, I was afraid. But at the earlier part of the war, when I was 7, 8, and 9, I think I was blindly sure that all would be well.
You got the submarine in there.
I have a submarine in there, yes.
Hooked up with the submarine. That's just incredible. The people in Australia learn that there are civilians hiding in the jungle in the Philippines, and they're able to communicate with them and send a sub in there to rescue them.
It's spooky, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. All under the noses of the Japanese?
Yes. Yes. It was... I've been to reunions of the submariners, and there are quite a few of them left, and they took out almost 400 people out of the islands by the end of the war. It was wonderful. I remember it so clearly.
Now, you had this extra burden. None of you knew where your brother was.
That was a burden. That was a heavy burden for my parents.
He was in boarding school on another part of the island.
Yes, he was in the Baguio, which is the summer capital of Manila, north of Manila. It was a small prison camp of about 500 people. He spent the time between the age of 18 and a half and 22 in a prison camp.
You and your parents were in California by this time at the end of the war. He had to stick it out till the end of the war.
He stuck it out, right, till February 45.
All four of you survived the war, but then your parents were gone by 1949.
They were. My father had silicosis to begin with from time spent in mines, and I think the dysentery during the war weakened him, and he had tuberculosis. And then just by the fickle hand of fate, my mother had ovarian cancer, so they died the same summer. And my mother's diary was invaluable. And that was a strange thing, because I put her diary on the ironing board next to me at the computer and began turning pages, and I'd read her paper, and I'd say, I think I do remember that. Yes, I remember that. I can put that in my own words. Yes, I do. There were some things that she talked about, of course, I didn't remember, and she's in italics, so my mother and I both wrote My Faraway Home.
Author and painter Mary McKay Maynard lives in Connecticut. Her brother Bob lives in California.
I'm very proud of him. He's 78 years old, and he just got his FAA okay to fly 2 more years. He has an airplane in California so that he can commute over the Sierra to get to his glider in Nevada.